is how many wise men were there? How many wise men were there? Three. Three wise men. Nobody knows. There were more than two, I guess. So we don't know that there were three wise men. So all those songs you sing when you do the Christmas carols are not biblically accurate, but that's okay. There were three gifts. And just another one interesting thought is most historians don't believe that the wise men came on camels. They believe they came from the Mesopotamian area around Babylon, where Babylon was, where Arabian horses were the main mode of transport. So just putting it out there. You'll see even on my slides, I've got a couple of camels, because you can't find really slides with horses. There you go. So lessons from the wise men. So that's the challenge of this message, is what can the story of the wise men actually do for us? How does it impact us? What can we learn from it? Is there something we can apply, some message that God is wanting us to hear and learn? So we're going to endeavor to reveal a few things as we go along. But let's just read the passage from Matthew chapter 2 and from verse 1. It says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem, in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. And as soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. So quite an amazing story when you think of all that happened around Jesus' birth, and these guys from, as Pam said, thousands of kilometers away, purposely journeyed to see the King of Kings, the King of the Jews, and worship him. And then you have this sequence of events that are supernatural, which we'll chat about just now, and how this all took place. But one of the real significant elements of this passage, because the story of the wise men is only found in Matthew. Actually, the story of Jesus' birth is only found in two of the Gospels. Mark and John don't even reference the birth of Jesus. For them, his life and death are of far more significance. But Matthew and Luke wrote to specific audiences. So Matthew wrote his gospel to a Jewish audience. And you'll see that as Matthew starts off with the lineage of Jesus, showing the Jewishness of Jesus, the fact that Jesus is the son of David. And then Luke writes it also with a genealogy, but from Mary's side, showing where the Gentile element fits in. A number of the descendants of Jesus were Gentiles. And just because Luke was a Gentile, writing to Gentile readers, wanting to show them the all-encompassing aspect of Christianity, of Jesus and what he did. And that's why this story is quite interesting, that Matthew, who's writing to Jews, brings in the story about these Gentile men from far away coming to worship Jesus. And one of the key points is that Jesus is for everyone. But I also think one of the key points in the story and why it was inserted in this gospel is to show right at the beginning the animosity towards the prophesied Messiah that the Jews had. And as we go through the story a little bit more, you'll see it's just unbelievable how the Jewish response is so different to the response of the wise men. The whole purpose of the Gospel of Matthew is to show that Jesus is the Messiah. If you flip through the pages of Matthew time and time again, we read already one of them, Old Testament prophecies are linked with the story of Jesus. Matthew takes great pains to link the Old Testament with the New Testament, with the happenings that were going on as he wrote them about the story of Jesus. He shows Jewish rejection right from the beginning all the way to the crucifixion. So it's quite an incredible story that's just been inserted here about these wise men and the differences in response. So let's go to the next one. So there we go. First one, a supernatural encounter. So think about this. You have this star. Now, some commentators say that it was the North Star. Others say that it was a comet. Nobody's entirely sure what the star was. But it does seem that the star moved as under the direction of God. Because if we read there, after the Magi had gone to Jerusalem, it talks about the star that they had seen when it rose went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. This was not some random star in the sky. It was a supernatural sign from God. Now, what drew the Magi was that this star had been spoken about years and years and years before. Now think about the fact that they came from the Mesopotamian area, from the Babylonian area. Where were the Jews exiled to? From Jerusalem to Babylon. So they knew a whole bunch of things about the Jewish religion, Jewish customs, the prophecies of the Messiah, because the Jews had been living amongst them for many years. And if you go to, it's Numbers, I think it's 24, verse 17, there's this prophecy from Balaam, years before even the Babylonian Empire arose. And it says this in verse 17, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star will come out of Jacob. A scepter will rise over Israel. Many believe that it is this verse that piqued the attention of the Magi. The Magi were wise men, astronomers, people who understood that there are signs in the heavens above that relate to signs that were going to happen on the earth below, and they had and understood the prophecies of this Messiah that was coming to Israel. Quite an amazing thing how God orchestrates this supernatural encounter. Men thousands of kilometers away, directed and led to a little house in a little town where a baby boy is living. Quite an amazing thing. Now, think about your salvation journey. How did you become a Christian? How did it happen? I'm sure if you think about it, you'll see and notice there was a supernatural element. So for me, I felt a distinct drawing to go to church. I needed to get my life right, as it were. And that was the Holy Spirit drawing me to Jesus, bringing me to the place of acknowledgement of, I actually need a Savior. I actually need help. But it was a process of taking me from one place and bringing me to another place of, I need Jesus. And I think this journey of the Magi is something similar with regards to just bringing people, how God draws people to himself. The other supernatural element in the story is the Magi see Jesus, and then what do? They go back to Herod and tell him where Jesus is? No, because supernaturally they have a dream that says, don't go back to that man, head on home. God was working in and behind the scenes, doing something incredible. Just even the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecies in the story of Jesus' birth is supernatural, unbelievable. So we carry on, and we have this confirmation of divinity. So in the story of the birth of Jesus, we have a couple of elements. We have Jesus' birth. Then we have the shepherds, which we heard about last week, having this incredible encounter with the angels and hosts of heaven. And they go and visit Jesus. Then 8 days later, Jesus is circumcised. About 6 weeks later, Joseph and Mary take Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to God. Because that's what you did for a firstborn. Any firstborn animal or person is dedicated to the Lord. And there in the temple, you read it in Luke chapter 2, you have two old people, Simeon and Anna, that come and start prophesying about this baby. It must have been unbelievable for Mary and Joseph to hear these devout, God-fearing people saying incredible things about their little boy. And then, probably about a year later, you have, even more than a year later, you have the wise men arriving. So the nativity picture of the shepherds and the wise men is not accurate, because it didn't happen at the same time. The wise men came later. They saw the star and they journeyed thousands of kilometers to come and find Jesus. The interesting thing about this confirmation of divinity, which I find amazing, is in the gospel record, only the wise men worshipped Jesus. Nowhere does it say the shepherds worshipped. The shepherds were overjoyed and they went and shared. Doesn't say that Anna and Simeon worshipped Jesus. But in scripture, the wise men came, Gentiles, came with these gifts, bowed down and worshipped Jesus. I find it quite amazing that people who have no connection with the Messiah would see the divinity of God in this little baby, in this boy. And they worshipped him. And obviously bringing the gifts is that acknowledgement as well, that someone incredibly important is in our midst. They traveled so far to worship the baby, who was only maybe a year old. And that contrasts with the Jews. See, Jesus is either worshipped or rejected. The same is true today, in the world we live in today. Jesus is either worshipped or he's rejected. And that's why, as the world changes, we see more and more antagonism towards the Christian faith. More and more people who are saying, you know what, if you're a Christian and you believe this and this and this, then, you know, you got issues. You think of the controversial elements that are around the world right now. The whole LGBT thing and the trans scenario and marriage and gay marriage. Those are attacks on our belief system. You either accept Jesus, you accept God, you accept his word, or you reject him. See, Jesus either brings great joy or fear. Because it comes down to perspective. Great joy comes when it's like, what do I gain? What do I get by knowing Jesus? Fear is, what can I lose? So contrast the reaction of the wise men. So much to gain. Worshipping the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and then Herod. Herod, immediately this fear. There is a threat to my throne. Can you imagine you the king of Israel, the leader of Israel, and someone says, the king of the Jews has been born. If you are not looking forward to the Messiah, that's a threat to your power. And that's exactly where Herod was. Herod is known to have been quite a brutal guy. He's known to have murdered his wife and three of his sons because of this power-hungry aspect of his reign. So, Jesus is either worshipped or rejected. He's either a blessing or he's a threat. And the incredible thing about this story is you find what you're looking for. You see what you're looking for. I find it amazing that the Jews, who for hundreds of years had been waiting patiently, had gone through so much turmoil, waiting for the Messiah to arrive, and wise men with a supernatural experience come and say, you know what, the Messiah has been born in your midst. And instead of the Jewish religious leaders saying, wow, that's amazing, let's go with you, we want to see this incredible fulfillment of prophecy, what did they say? You know what, you guys go. You guys go, and then when you find him, come and tell us. It doesn't make any sense to my mind. If you're a Jew longing for the Messiah, I would have thought, man, we're with you. Let's go. But isn't that a little bit like life? Oh, you know, we're actually too busy doing this. We got other stuff on our schedule that, you know, Jesus is just going to have to wait a little bit longer. Or you go to church and you pray for us. Have you had people say that? You go to church and you pray for us. No, man, you go to church yourself. You know, you go and have an encounter with Jesus. There's no second-hand experience here with regards to Jesus. The actions of the Jews illuminated their heart. And I think that is one of the key points Matthew is trying to make here. That right from the very beginning, the religious leaders were actually not that interested in the Messiah. They had become so comfortable in their religious system and comfortable in how they could protect themselves that actually the emergence of the Messiah was an inconvenience. And for Herod, obviously, a real problem. And that's why we read a little bit later on where he goes and kills every baby boy in Bethlehem under the age of 2. Like, who does that? So the prophesied Messiah is born, and Herod, King Herod, purposely tries to kill the Messiah. How does that equate in someone's brain? It's because Jesus was a threat. The Jews were apathetic. These Gentile men had traveled thousands of kilometers. The Jewish religious leaders were not willing to travel 10 kilometers, because that's about as far as it is from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. The challenge for us in this whole thought is, who do we best represent in our own lives? Do we put Jesus on the side and, you know what, we'll get involved when we want to, or we'll serve him when it suits us? Or are we sold out? We are going to find and be in the presence of God irrespective of the discomfort and challenges that come our way. And in this one, I don't think I need to say much about this. Hey, Carl, thanks so much for giving us the lowdown. Gifts fit for a king. As we heard, gold represents Jesus' royalty. Fit for a king. Frankincense was used by the priests, so it speaks about the priestly nature of Jesus, and then myrrh, obviously moving towards his death. The purpose of Christ coming to earth, God incarnate, Emmanuel, was for one purpose and one purpose only, to give his life as a ransom for many. Again, just an amazing, you know, the symbolic nature of these gifts. I'm sure that these wise men had no idea how significant those gifts were. The other thing, just from a practical point of view, is those gifts, you know, why those gifts? And I think, number one, they were really valuable. But also gold, frankincense, myrrh were gifts from that locality, from that region. So it's what they had, they brought to Jesus. Again, what a great thing to use in our own lives. What do you have? What can you bring to Jesus and offer Him? We know that in this day and age, a physical gift, Jesus doesn't need that. Our hearts, now that's something special that we can bring to the Lord. That we can bow our knee and worship Him and say, God, here is my life. Here is my life. So what is our response? We'll draw this to a close. What is our response when it comes to the story of Jesus? You might not be feeling the Christmas spirit right now. It's a little bit difficult with COVID and the commercialization of Christmas. But that's okay. It's not about feeling, is it? It's about faith. It's about acknowledging that so many years ago, something amazing happened that has changed our lives now and forevermore. Jesus came to earth. I love that picture of the ladder. Renee, that's so, so spot on. That Jesus came down. We didn't have to go up. Jesus set aside His glory, came down, born as a baby for you and for me. The greatest gift ever given to mankind was this baby boy who grew up to become the Lamb of God who sacrificed Himself for us. That's why Christmas is a time of celebration. That's why Christmas is a time where we reflect on what Jesus has done and we give Him the worship that is His due. So on Christmas Day, when you open your presents, may you be a present to Jesus. May you give your life afresh to Him. And like those wise men, acknowledge that He is King of your life and offer the best that you have for Him for the days to come. Because Jesus, you know, we know, we cannot outgive God. And I think even in our busy schedules, to make sure that we're never too busy to seek after Jesus, to dwell in His presence, and to make sure that He remains the center of everything. As we close, and we'll close in prayer, may the story of the Magi, of these wise men, may it just sit in your heart, just when it comes to the determination and the sacrifice they made. They gave up what they had at home to find this baby, to find Jesus. And as we go into a new year, you know, the last 2 years, as we've already heard, have been difficult. There's no guarantee that next year is going to be any easier. But the one guarantee that we have is God is for us, God is with us, and He has promised to help us. If we can take this story like the wise men and say, man, I'm going to put aside everything else because nothing else is as important as Jesus in my life, in my future, and we seek after Him, we actually set ourselves up to be in a great position whatever happens next year. We trust it'll be a great year. But even if it's not, Jesus is still on the throne. He is still with us and for us and will help us. Can you bow your heads with me and we'll close in prayer. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you so much for this incredible story. We thank you, Lord, for these wise men who put aside everything else to seek after you. And I pray that you would do that in our hearts, that we would be determined to ensure that you are the center of our lives today and in the days to come. Prepare our hearts even as we move into Christmas and celebrating your birth next week. And as we consider next year, Lord, thank you that you are with us, that your Holy Spirit guides us, and that you bless us. But in all of that, may our hearts always remain in tune with you, always focused on you and giving you worship and you praise and the glory that you deserve. So Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the story. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for Christmas, what it really means. We bless your name. And we pray that you be with us in the days to come. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.